and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're listening to me, Pete, and alongside me I have Eddie.
Hello.
And Ben.
Hello.
And keeping with our traditional format, as we always do, and definitely don't talk about the E3 episode again, we'll be taking you through the news, the new releases, a bit of what we've been playing. And this week we're going to be talking about the Steam Summer Sale, which...
Woo! Oh, yeah.
You know what? That's allowed this week, Eddie. That sounded very train-like. So. Yeah, we can work with that. Yeah, the Steam Summer Sale, which obviously kicked off this week and is running until the 8th of July. So
yeah, there's a load of good games on that one.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the biggest sale of PC games of the year. So
well, I think crucially, the way we're going to do it, if you haven't got a PC and you haven't got Steam, the games that we're going to be talking about, they're going to be on other consoles as well. So
yeah,
most of them. So yeah, it'd be good feature, I think.
Hope so.
Addition there, Ben. I like that.
Just trying to round it out because you know what? As soon as you mention Steam, and then people go like, "Well, I don't have a PC, so I don't give a fuck." But
are you just catering for our thousands of Nintendo Switch owners?
Yeah, the old fucking Switchies.
Got to look at this. A lot of the games we'll be talking about are also available on the Switch. I'm just gonna. Put
is that why up. Our new release section is only Switch games? I've noticed, Ben. Is that why?
It is this week, but and on what you've been playing, the big game for the week is Mario Golf. So Switch game. So you know we've got a jam-packed Switch show.
Yes, indeed. Sadly, it is as always heavily Switch dominated. But in other news, what have we got this week, guys?
Shall I go first?
Why not? I was throwing it out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Eddie didn't jump out, so...
I've got two big fluffies, so don't you worry about me. I saw yours were quite serious, so I've got two mega fluffs.
Lovely fluff. Okay,
I love my fluff.
Good stuff. Well, mine actually might turn out to be fluff at the end of the day, because have you heard about the Blue Box abandoned game controversy?
Is this not quite news again, Ben? Is that where you started us?
You like these, don't you?
Us there, yeah. They're not quite news. Because a couple of weeks ago, we did the whole thing about the Nintendo shit, the Switch Pro, which never happened.
Yeah, it was definitely not news.
Specs and all. We had specs and all.
I like how you said we as well, but yeah, fine.
Yes, yeah.
I had specs and all. Specs and all. Yeah, so this is the Blue Box. Have you heard about what's gone on the last couple of weeks?
No, actually, I haven't.
So, Abandoned is it's a new horror game that's coming out on PlayStation, and it's been PlayStation have picked up the studio and have backed the game as one of their exclusives to come out of the console. There's been a whole controversy around it for the last probably 3 weeks to a month about potentially this being a front for the new Silent Hill game. Kojima, Silent Hill. And there's been a lot of links, but it might just be one of those things that if you look hard enough for stuff, you can find the links.
Like a new Nintendo Switch Pro at E3. Yeah.
Absolutely. But the developers have lent into it quite a bit. Now, this is basically an indie developer that's been picked up. They've only done like a couple of games or maybe even failed games in the past. And I think the game that they had, which wasn't picked up, was like a Kickstarter game or something like that. And this was also a Kickstarter game, this abandoned game. And then Sony picked it up and it's obviously not Kickstarter anymore. But there's been just a huge, huge hype around it. So, and a couple of weeks ago, they released a tweet that said that because Abandon is like the code name kind of thing for it.
Yeah.
And they released a tweet saying, we're going to reveal the full name for the game soon. And it begins with S. And it ends with L.
Right.
And yes, this is what people were thinking. People were already thinking Kojima was involved and this potentially could be Silent Hill. And then we saw at people reading into everything. I mean, it's quite exceptional. You know, when we watched Summer Games Fest and they had that Death Stranding piece?
Yeah.
They had that whole bit where the main character, his name's Sam or whatever, he picks up that box and he turns upside down and all like some fruit falls out and then he jumps in the box. Do you remember?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah,
it was a blue box.
To reference Metal Gear, right?
Yeah, but it was a blue box, so people were like, oh, people have linked that to Blue Box. Then they've gone through the abandoned trailer, and they've slowed it right down. And when there's graffiti on the wall, if you go frame by frame, on one frame, the trees block out everything, but like an S and an H for Silent Hill.
And there's one frame. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like yeah. As you pan round, and then the there's only real one public employee that's been put out there to kind of address these rumors and stuff. Mm. And his name is Hassan Karaman. Is that?
Yeah.
But his
which translates to Silent Hill. Ah!
His initials are the same as Hideo Kojima. So his initials are the same. So they're reading into everything about this being Kojima's latest project and this being a whole front. Like Blue Box was set up in like 2014, it seems. And that was around the same time as PT. The legendary kind of demo that came out that was never turned into a full game. So we're at that people are putting all these things together. Now, this is now riding. Like, and the wave is coming. This Hassan guy has come out on Twitter and he released a full thing saying we have nothing to do with this. He had a video saying that he had to address the speculation. There's been numerous kind of tweets that he's had to put out to say like, no, we've got nothing to do with it. The quote he's quoted as saying like, we want to set things straight. We have no relations with Konami. Silent Hill is owned by Konami. We do not have any relations with Hideo Kojima. See, it was written there. It was never our intention to tease the name Silent Hill. We sincerely apologize about this. And you're like, really? Like, I don't know whether does PlayStation need to come in and put a stop to this and say, like, absolutely, this has nothing to do with it if it's not true? Or is this just genius fucking marketing by a really small indie company that's going to actually sell a boatload of their game and it's going to be a massive disappointment? It's going to have absolutely nothing to do with Silent Hill, and it'll just be called. Imagine the game's just called like Survival.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay. And then people will buy it anyway because it's in the press. But, you know, this is just set up for a massive, massive disappointment. I don't believe this for 1 minute, but people have bought into this so hard. But it sounds like incredible marketing to me.
What? Exclusively saying no? they must be listening to this podcast going, what else can we fucking do? I mean,
That tweet, though, the tweet that said the first name S, the last letter L, it's like, but they already knew people were leaning into it, and then they were like, oh, no, we didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Oh, but no, yeah, our 4 million new followers. We definitely didn't mean to lead you awry with that one.
How many copies have they sold as a result of leading me, because even if they turn out it's got nothing to do with it, the game is out there, like at least people know about it. I think I'm interested to see how this one pans out and whether this, I'm sure this will have nothing to do with Kojima.
Yes,
but if it does, then great. If it doesn't, I think it's just genius marketing.
It's almost one of those accidents that turns into a let's just run with it for as long as we can.
Yes,
now we need the statement.
Imagine if like one of us were in charge of tweeting and we just put that out there, like as like this will get the juices. This will get the juices flowing on the old game, and then suddenly, no.
Really, that's the one you're going for here on a podcast.
Eddie, I don't think you can judge anything for phrasing choices on this podcast. if anything, Ben's just fitting your running theme.
Fair enough. But yeah, so they got the juices flowing, and
don't repeat it. Thank
you. You knew that would annoy me, so you did it.
But yeah, if one of us did it, we'd do that, and then we'd be like, "Oh dear God, what have we done?"
Yeah, exactly, precisely. Yeah.
Shit, you're doing that on our Twitter account today, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah, I am bad at Twitter. So, yeah.
So if our next episode has the letters S and H in the title, we should all understand that. That
works for the end. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was my probably not news story.
Fair enough. Well, in terms of managing expectations, I suppose mine fits quite nicely in with that as well. Because did you guys see that the first ever WitcherCon is set for the 9th of July?
WitcherCon.
Yeah.
I didn't see the time set, but you did message us a couple of weeks ago about it, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did. There was obviously a little mention of it came up.
Wasn't it a tweet, wasn't it?
it was originally a tweet exchange between the two companies.
You said I'd want to
hang out or something, wasn't it? Or something
exactly,
like that?
Yeah, between CD Projekt Red and The Witcher Netflix. So, they've now set a full time and date, and it's 6 p.m. UK time on the 9th of July. And they've had to actually list out its inclusions because immediately everyone went, oh my God, it's going to be a new Witcher game. And so they came back and went, no, this is a digital convention. It's going to include deep dives into the making of games, the making of the games, the live action series, and anime film. Honestly, didn't know there was an anime film, but that's cool to know. You know, that's interesting.
Is that already on Netflix, the anime film?
I don't know this, Ben. I don't know this. I didn't know it existed. Yeah. And I didn't want to check in case either of you two knew of it, but I'm sure we'll find out. Then they had to add, in case you're wondering, there is no new Witcher game to be announced, but there are still a lot of reasons to tune in. Nice. Very sensible to get that out there because it was the immediate thought of a lot of people was that there was something to do with Witcher 4.
I mean, they've got to release a new next-gen update for Cyberpunk, about a billion DLCs, so...
They've got to get back their intellectual property from hackers first.
Yes. They've got a lot to do, to be fair.
They've got a few things on.
Haven't got time to hang out. They've got to fucking be working on Cyberpunk.
Well, look, they're taking an evening, all right? They're allowed to take an evening, Ben.
They're not.
I thought they were crunching.
I think they've been crunching their entire lives, but it's just a slightly different thing to crunch on, as it were. But it's an interesting one for me because if you're upfront saying there's no new content, really, which is what you are saying, obviously there's going to be things to do with the season 2 of the Netflix series, which has had teaser trailers so far, but nothing more substantial. But in terms of CD Projekt Red and the gaming side of it, is it just a marketing stunt? Really? I mean, that's kind of all it sounds like.
To me, this sounds like utter nonsense.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say, to be honest.
Just sounds like absolute fucking fluff nonsense. Probably like Eddie's news stories will be.
Wow. Okay. My question on this, do you reckon that, obviously this is the first one, do you reckon future ones will be in person?
Who knows? Is there ever going to be another one?
Because, let's put it this way, I have no interest in signing into the digital one, especially as there's no new games. It'll just be stuff that I'll enjoy watching, but, you know, I can do that on YouTube anytime. But if there was an actual convention, like in London, I would be well up for that, just to go and meet people and have a drink and, well, just to get drunk, just an excuse to get drunk. But also, you know, see game content, see interesting stuff. I would be well up for that.
Yeah, I can understand that side of it. I think it would be much better in person, wouldn't it?
I think this type of thing, I mean, yeah, I'm all in on a convention, you know that, but I think this type of thing, because of the content they've got present, I think this is a pure, this has to be just streamed and digital because there's nothing to hold people. I'm all for like an indie kind of resed event and stuff like that. There's not any real big showcase items, but it's just cool to hang out and see some games that you wouldn't usually do or whatever. But this, like some deep dives into The Witcher.
How they made the games, yeah.
Oh, gee,
right. And the TV show. And to be fair, I will probably watch it out of curiosity. Depending on football fixtures that evening. But it's one of those things. I'll also probably watch it because I get the feeling that's when the full trailer for season 2 of The Witcher will be dropped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a brilliant opportunity for that. Yes,
exactly,
right.
Yeah. And it's probably going to release in later this year. Probably, I think they said September at one point.
They've been filming for a while now, haven't they?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They were planning to release it last year and then COVID stopped them filming for an entire year. So that's why we are where we are now. But I think September is the planned release. And... yeah, I'll probably tune in just to see the new trailer because I imagine that is what's going to be the centerpiece for this.
Yeah, that series will be huge. And I imagine if they're going to release, if they're going to announce a new Witcher, it'll probably be towards E3 next year, you'd think, wouldn't it? I think they'll have to do is they'd have to release the new series of The Witcher because then The Witcher's awesome and people love that, and they'll have to release the next gen version of Cyberpunk hopefully end of Q1 next year, and then Cyberpunk is then a good game, let's put that in the good game category, and then they can go about their business and say, and we've been working on The Witcher for the last year, and here's the trailer.
Yes, I mean, I sincerely doubt they have been. I think they were all crunching Cyberpunk, but people are looking forward to Witcher 4.
If there's nothing yet, Pete, I mean, we're going to be like 5 years away, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
I think would be too, because they'd have to be mindful of coinciding this with the hype of the TV show. Like, how many series of that TV show are they going to be doing? Like, and if they're literally starting on The Witcher 4 soon, it's going to be 4 or 5 years, and they need The Witcher's at its peak of its powers right now, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah.
It's a good point about the TV series. Yeah. Yeah. If it wasn't for that, I would say focus on Cyberpunk, getting it, you know, getting it to not be a massive plot, but get it to be a redemption story, just so it kind of, you know, makes their company look a lot better, and then focus on the next game. Because what they don't want to do is, if for example, if they release a new Witcher next year, then what could happen is Cyberpunk will go down as one of the biggest flop, as in, you know, most disappointing games of all time.
I think they might do what you're saying and, like, get it to a state of okayness, get the next gen version out, probably never fully fix a base Xbox One and PS4. If they just drag this out long enough, people will have moved on to the next gen.
Gosh, yeah. We've definitely gone back into not quite news, because let's be honest, no one even knows a Witcher 4 is coming. It's just very much hopeful.
Oh, no, there will be a Witcher 4. Everyone knows there will be a Witcher 4. There has to be. It's money. It's got money written all over it.
Oh, God,
definitely. It does have money written all over it.
Because the TV series has got more people into it. So, yeah, it could be huge. Yeah
it's just a matter of when, not if, in my opinion.
But anyway, this moves nicely onto my news story. Well, I've got two. First one, Cyberpunk 2077 stability has reached a satisfactory level, says CDPR. So addressing attendees at the WSE Innovation Day, CD Projekt Red CEO Adam Kaczynski, I'm going to say that.
Kaczynski, yeah.
Oh, so close. Said the team was constantly working on patches to improve performance and stability, adding that further improvements were also being planned. Kaczynski? Is that right, Pete?
Close enough.
Told TVN24, we have already achieved a satisfactory level in this regarding of stability. We have also been working on overall efficiency, which we are also quite happy about. Of course, we are also removing bugs and glitches, and we will continue to do that. Over time, we will be introducing improvements to the general systems that players are paying attention to, he added. Yeah. So, I'm glad that after, when did it come out?
December.
Was it November? Oh, December, was it? Mm. All right, so only 7 months. It's now satisfactory.
was it December?
Now.
Oh, yeah, it was late, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Oh, my days. That is, I mean, that's something, right?
And it's satisfactory, that's just stability, meaning not crashing, right?
I imagine so.
I mean, that's brilliant.
It's amazing how similar they are to Bethesda with this one. Like, it works, just play it. But I'm floating in midair. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy the future.
Just enjoy the show. It's good. The storyline's fantastic.
Exactly, yeah. It's a huge world. You can roam around it. Don't worry about all the issues. Yeah, it's fine.
Nothing to do, but it's a huge world.
I enjoyed the last bit, though. Over time, we'll be introducing improvements to general systems that the players are paying attention to. So that's quite good.
So ignoring all the ones they're not.
I don't think the players are paying attention to anything. I don't think anybody's playing it anymore.
No, they're paying attention to the bugs, and they're going to
Once again, Ben, there does seem to be an active community still ongoing with it.
But how can you be active in it? Because you do the game and the game is done.
I think you can start over and replay it, Ben, which is a big thing with people from The Witcher.
Yeah, aren't there like 6 stories or something, endings or something?
Oh, Christ. Yeah. It's not even that. It's not interesting enough to do that. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
You're not the one to really judge on this, because your replay thing is very low.
It is low.
Replay
actually.
Games.
Yeah, I go. My story is my story.
Do
that's
it
true.
Once, bosh it out, and move on.
That's true. Know what the other endings are. Realize they're all bullshit, and move on.
Yeah, it's almost like they were made up storylines, Ben. Like,
yes.
Like someone thought them up out of thin air and then turned them into a game. Crazy. And published it. Yeah.
and made them all. Anyway, yes. Mm.
Yep. Anyway, my next story. Get ready for this one. River, the real life dog who inspired Dog Meat from Fallout 4, has passed away.
No. Come on. That's River, not the fluff. That's a knife to the heart.
River, the real life dog who inspired Dog Meat Fallout 4, has passed away. Joel Burgess, studio director at Capybara Games, great name for a studio, and former developer of Fallout 3, 4, and the 76 at Bethesda, took to Twitter to look back at her impact on Fallout 4. I said goodbye today to River, who most of you know from Fallout 4's Dog Meat. Heartbroken doesn't cover it, but I won't eulogize her here. For Twitter, I thought it'd be appropriate to look back at her impact of that game. And then there's pictures of it. So, yeah. Here's the funny thing. Do you reckon Joel has looked back at her home base for the dog kennel and see if River's in there?
Okay, that's harsh, but very well done. Very well done.
I had that joke locked and loaded.
How to make a heartbreaking story funny in a bleak way.
How to make lots of enemies in one sentence.
Yeah.
Hey, we all typed in that the first time we played Fallout. Where's Dogbeat gone? Oh, it's because he died in battle and he's come back. Anyway, that's sad. That's my story. There you go.
Fantastic. Well, that's something to end the news with. Yeah, let's move swiftly on to the new releases, shall we?
Well, I'm not sure I can pick up the mood too much with these new releases, if I'm honest. There's one that I forgot to mention last week. The Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance game came on Game Pass last week. And I did manage to play the combat tutorial bit. I noticed a lot of people were saying that the combat was quite slow, that it was quite delayed. You press to do something and then it would be like quarter of a second, half a second before it actually did it. So yeah. I decided to be an archer, and I actually thought the archer combat was quite good. I really liked the tutorial. I thought that could be good for the game, but I didn't want to actually start the game proper. I just wanted to kind of see it looked lovely, and I thought the combat wasn't as bad as everyone was saying from my brief interaction with it, but currently sits at a 59-60 on Metacritic.
Oh wow.
Yeah, not is it? I mean, no. I haven't seen any good reviews. In fact, one review said the title was like, surely it can't be as bad as everyone says it is. I don't know, like, so it doesn't inspire you with a let's go and play that game, but yeah,
it's just one of those games that the fanboys will play it, so that's, you know, they'll be happy. So
yeah, exactly. I think it's one that you have to rerun. It's like, it's a grindy loot kind of game. Nice. So I don't know. Yeah, looked like it could be good, which is unfortunate, but coming out this week. We'll go through these now. First one is called Curved Space. It's on PC, Xbox, PS4, 5, you know, the works, not Switch though. It's billed as an intense arcade twin stick shooter. Looked okay, but we are light on new releases this week, so things like that would have got cut last week, but they're in this week. But probably the biggest game of the week, which really sets the tone, is Destroy All Humans is coming to the Switch. So it's the remake of the 2005 open world action adventure game. Yeah. I've never played it. I've seen numerous trailers for it. And
it was really big, wasn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, it was huge, it's definitely a well-known game and kind of franchise. And I really do like the look of it. But I assume this is the big release this week.
I mean, it certainly seems like it so far.
Yeah, I've seen the fucking list. There's not goodies here.
Yeah, so all of that's on the 29th of June. So tomorrow, Wednesday. Tuesday?
Yes.
Tuesday. and the day before this podcast comes out. So then we have Sky Children of the Light, which is also coming to Switch on the 29th of June.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, the thing that puts me off on this, it's an open world, like, it's billed as a social indie adventure game. Open world, but it's already on iOS and Android, and that just immediately puts me off.
Oh, yeah.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of games on phones do actually look quite tidy, I think, especially on a phone screen. They can look quite good. So they do translate to the Switch very well. But sometimes you're like, especially because a lot of these ports, I don't know if that is the case in this one, they do just put literally the phone game on the Switch with very few extras and quality of life.
Could make many comments about the Switch in relation to that. But yes. Yeah, I understand.
Isn't the Switch just like an iOS kind of...
It's about the same size as a phone.
Yeah.
Well, it is effectively a glorified mobile phone, but they just do a lot of it. It's the power of it is not incredibly dissimilar to just a really, really fucking powerful phone. But they do just a hell of a lot with it. The next one, I know you were trying to frame that as an insult, and I just tried to...
No, I like that you kind of admitted that. That's just
it works well.
Where it is a positive, that they've done a great job to it. The next one, Zombies Ate My Neighbors and Ghoul Patrol. Again,
is that one game?
No, two games. No. The first one, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, is supposedly some cult classic game. Okay. I don't know. And Ghoul Patrol is the sequel. It's coming to PC, Xbox, PS4, and Switch. So no next gen, but just base level PS4 and Xbox.
So no haptic feedback on Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
No. I mean, it's very cartoony type, almost top down game from what I remember seeing.
This made the list.
Okay. The next one, A Tale of Science. The Chaos Theories coming to PC and Switch June 30th. It's an indie platform game.
And funnily enough, by the way, this one actually doesn't look terrible.
No.
Is it because it looks a bit like Ori?
It looks about halfway between Ori and Hollow Knight.
It's an indie platform game, and it looks like an indie platform game. So it's like...
It really does, yeah.
So it's like, from what it looks like, and the short trailer is, well, it looks like it plays like the other good ones.
Yeah, exactly. So that one might be decent.
But overall, we're not looking at much more this week. We did get a leak, possible leak. Supposedly for the PS Plus games this month. One is almost confirmed to be A Plague Tale Innocence. So if you haven't had an Xbox and you haven't had an opportunity to play this on Game Pass in July, the PS Plus game, one of them should be A Plague Tale Innocence, which is a very, very good immersive story-driven game. And there's hopes, these are less likely, but there's hopes that the Uncharted game Lost Legacy, which is the kind of spin-off Uncharted game that was released, still excellent, but slightly shorter and slightly off-grid, is in the mix, as is the new Predators game, Hunting Grounds, which I know hasn't reviewed very well at all, but could be a nice multiplayer game to check out if it does come to PS Plus.
So, I like that you're rounding this out with more not quite news. We've come full circle.
This has been a very, very light week, and I'm clutching here. I'm real clutching. So find out next week whether those PS Plus games are correct.
Fantastic. Find out next week if any of our news has become news.
Yeah.
Other than a very poor joke at the expense of a dog, but yes.
And that's it.
That is the lot for that. Yes. So well, in the theme of not quite news, what you've been playing is... I've not quite been playing anything, guys.
This is going great this week.
I'll tell a lie. I've played some Stellaris, but I recognize that you and our audience are probably bored of Stellaris by now, so I'll sum it up with a quick public service announcement to all mod makers, which is, if you're going to include an incredibly imbalanced faction as a mid-game waypoint, can you warn people up front and not just in the mod notes? Because I've now had three awesome playthroughs ruined by three separate mods that have mid-game crises with insanely overpowered factions. which would be fine if they're next to you, but when they're the opposite side of the galaxy and you just watch the map turn their color, it's a bit annoying.
Can you you turn it off in the
you can in when you know where to find it, but you can't do it during the game or it then crashes your game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredibly annoying.
I think this week maybe the feature of the Steam sale is going to play right into your hands, because I know the Euros are going on, and it's nice to have a familiar strategy game, a turn-based game at that, that you can play along in the background. But maybe it's going to be quite nice to get some cheap Steam games down your gullet so that you could potentially move on a little bit.
Gullet in there, but yes, yeah. I'm not wedging a digital download into my gullet, but yes. No, obviously, I've already spent stupid amounts of money in the Steam sale, and I will continue to do so. So you've got a point. But for this week, that's all I've been playing.
All right, I'll go next, because Ben, you got the biggie. Of course, I wouldn't spend money on a brand new game. So, Ben, you got the honour of that. But I've been playing, I'm bringing Conan to the table. Conan Exiles. I've played enough of it now to kind of talk about it. So the developers, Funcom, great name by the way, guys. You know what, I thought Conan was like this huge release, but I've looked at Funcom and I don't recognize any of their past games, so I don't know where the hype came from. They obviously did well with the marketing department.
They've been doing Conan for years, haven't they?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I couldn't believe, fuck me, the release date is January 2017.
Yeah,
like that's insane. Like I don't physically believe that. I remember being excited about this game, but I guess it's because all these new updates kept coming. Ben, we've talked about it before, where you're like, oh, that next update is this, I'll wait until that. So and then it's finally on Xbox Game Pass, so that's awesome. So it's now free. I've had it on my wish list for probably 3 years, and it's always been it's steep. I think if we looked on Steam right now, it's probably like 30 quid. That's with the sale, but I'll have a look at that later. So what is it? It's an online multiplayer survival game set in the lands of Conan the Barbarian. Great movie.
Fantastic movie.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it? Brilliant. Mm-hmm. So what is it? It looks very nice. I'm going to start with the positives. You can see where I'm going to go, like all my game reviews.
Lovely, controversial.
It looks quite nice. Yeah. Like you look around and you're like, this is quite nice. I can imagine on a better TV than mine, it would look quite stunning, really. The exploration's quite fun. You kind of go around and it's very crowded. It's very crowded. Like in Ark, you know, you come across someone every like a minute or two of walking. On this game, every 10 seconds you'll need to run away or run towards someone or something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of annoying. There's no first person. Now, you know what it is? They say there's first person, and then when you get into first person, you can look in first person, but as soon as you do an action, it kicks you back into third person. Now that really pissed me off, because that's the kind of thing that would make me buy a game. I would go, oh, it's first person. Then as soon as I did an action or swung my club, I'd go get kicked back to third person. So that's quite annoying. The combat's quite poor. It felt like you're just swinging for the breeches. Is that a term?
Kind of like Skyrim-esque combat, melee combat?
Sort of, but it doesn't feel as challenging. It feels like literally as many times as you can smack someone on the head. It doesn't feel like Skyrim, where sometimes you can use your skill to kill someone. You know what I mean? You feel that kind of way sometimes in Skyrim, or like maybe sneak around, and this doesn't feel like
sneak it around feels and shoot like them with an arrow from the dark. Yeah, like everyone does in Skyrim
The only playthrough you ever do. This doesn't feel like it. It feels literally just whoever's got the best armor. Like I would walk up to someone, and if I saw they had armor on, I was dead. Let's call it a day. I just ran away. Luckily, if you haven't got any armor on, you can run faster than people. So that's good.
So it's very realistic for that, then. Yeah.
Look, I'm not gonna go too much into it, but it's really grindy without the achievement of grinding. Do you know what I mean by that? It's so much grind. Like I'm looking at things that I want to build for my base, and I'm like, okay, that's quite a way away for how much materials. And then you think,
but when I build that, it's not even going to be that good. You don't feel the achievement. Like in some survival games, when you grind to something, you go like, yes, it's really cool. I've got this. Here, it doesn't really have that.
Yeah, you don't want your early base to be grindy. No. Like, obviously, developing your base, yeah, that's got to be grindy. Yeah. But the beginning bit, you just want to get set up and get an idea of how it works, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't really have any systems in play to make it rewarding or challenging. It just feels, you know what I think they've fallen prey to is this is a multiplayer game. So I think they've kind of gone, it's a multiplayer game, so we don't need to worry about making it less grindy because people will play together and they can get resources really quickly and then they can go exploring together and kill people. Yeah. So in that respect, it could be quite fun. But the problem is I'm playing as a single player and I want to have a good time, which I can't because it's grindy as fuck.
So how much do you think your time with this, Eddie, has been affected by the fact that it's on Game Pass and you didn't have to pay money for it?
That's a very good question, because if I paid the whatever it is hang on, I'm going to look it up now. Kona.
You don't want to look it up on Steam right now. It's 10 quid.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. But I mean, is that because of sale? I assume.
Yeah. It's £34 normally.
Yeah, so 34. If I paid 34 quid, and it's rarely on sale as well. I'll tell you that for now. I would definitely chuck more hours into it, but still, I would feel like I'm grinding, and it doesn't feel great when you're grinding for the sake of grinding. Like, I don't know why, but in No Man's Sky, I felt like something about it made me feel good that I had got certain materials to build something. I don't know. Maybe it's the progression. I don't know. But Conan just doesn't feel good. You just feel like you're doing it for the sake of doing it to get to the end of the game. Maybe it's the fact that it was on Game Pass, so I literally had no reason to carry on playing it. But
I think it's an issue with Game Pass. Issue's a strong word, but it's... You don't have to invest in the game. You just get to try something for...
I said this a long time
whatever
ago.
Whatever you want.
I, yeah.
One question as well. Is the version on Game Pass the full, complete edition, or is it just the base game?
I think it's the full edition, because it does say about mounts. It keeps on banging on about that it's got mounts.
Oh, the new edition.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, just for perspective on that, the full edition on Steam is £81.
Holy
with that's including shit. All the DLCs and expansion.
Holy crap.
So yeah, that tells you what they've been doing since 2017. There is content to burn in this game.
And a lot of people play this game and they highly, highly rate it. Now that might be because I have heard that this has to be your game, so it's the game you play and you don't play anything else. Yeah. And I think it is, like you say, Eddie, I think with multiple players, this could be the game. Now, I watch a variety streamer a lot, and she played it like twice and didn't play it again with her friends. So that says to you that it didn't take her as well. But I think if you do get fully taken by it, this is supposed to be fucking great.
Well, this game was obviously made on the back of Ark's success. Do you know what I mean? The people in a boardroom went, Ark is fucking massive right now, you know, like 5 years ago or whatever, and we need to make some money by making a game like that but better. But the problem is Ark is very good, and it's one of the first at doing that kind of good something new into a survival game with the multiplayer aspect. So and the problem with that is you compare everything to Ark, and I'm sorry, I'm right now downloading Ark because I played Conan and I went, oh yeah, it's okay. Oh, I could play Ark. Ark is better. So you know, the fact that I'm doing that shows that this is a swing and a miss for me.
And Ark is great in early game as well as like that late game stuff in Ark is like so different from the start of the game, where it's like, but the start of the game is very, very fun when you're an absolute peasant.
Yeah. It feels like a survival game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you come across the wrong thing, you know you're dead. Like in Kona, you just run away, and it's, but no, in Ark, it's good fun because, like, and you know, in Ark, you knew that if you were getting deeper into the center, you go, I'm risking shit here because I could die, and I can't go back to my body and pick up the bag because this dinosaur is going to lurk around this area. And you generally felt fearful when you felt like the camera shake, because you're like, that means there's a big fucking enemy.
Yes. what I loved in Ark was that you had to basically set up for your expedition to go, right, I'm in this really safe place. I'm going to build up to a stage where I've got my boat. I've got my thing. I'm going to travel over there. That's I'm going to go for it. Now is the time. And it was like feeling like something out of The Martian, like the film. Like it was that kind of build up and then you're going somewhere. I love that.
You had decisions to make. You go, do I take my most valuable XYZ? Do I take this with me? Because am I going to need this item if I go in this direction? Because if I lose that, it's going to take me a long time to get it back. And I might not ever get it back because, as I said, there's certain type of dinosaurs in certain areas. Yeah, it's just so much better than Conan Exiles, in my opinion. But again, it's one of those games that if you enjoy it with your mates, it could be priceless.
Okay.
There you go.
Should we move on to Mario Golf then?
Well, please. Why not?
Please. Well, last Friday, Mario Golf came out on the Switch. And I think the first thing that I can say about it is it's exactly what you think it would be.
Amazing.
Mechanically, it's a very good arcade golf game. So, it's got a variety of shots. I mean, it's even got hybrids in it, Eddie.
Bloody hell, that's actually quite good. I just assumed it'd all be fucking one club, you know.
It's full bag, and you can get out your bag, you choose what clubs you take and all this kind of stuff.
That is awesome.
it's great. And it's got all the different lies and like the how that will affect your direction that you're swing and the path of the ball as it'll come in on the green or as you play the shot, and you can backspin, topspin, that kind of stuff. You can do a purposeful slice, or let's call it a fade, and a purposeful draw. But it's not like the Tiger Woods games or whatever where you control the stick going backwards and forwards. It's just a press A to then and then press A again when you get the shot power. And then you put the spin on it afterwards. So it's like, it's more of a traditional, you know what it really reminds me of? Wii Golf.
Exactly.
It does make sense. And if you liked Wii Golf, which I loved Wii Golf, and the only thing that I had a problem with on Wii Golf was that it didn't have loads of courses or anything. It was just like the one course. But this does all of that stuff and more and better. You can use a Joy-Con and all that kind of stuff if you want, which I haven't done yet because I haven't played on the TV. But I heard it's quite quite sensitive to your shot and everything. So it is an actual way to play. It's got a single player, which is I haven't completed it yet. I'm told it's about 5 to 6 hours, which is like kind of an RPG. / innovative tutorial. So you travel around like the different courses, of which there are 6 in the game. And you unlock them as you go. You have to do different challenges, whether it be cross-country golf, where it'll be like you have to you've got a certain number of shots to hole these 9 holes. You can do them in any order, and it's all different elevations, and you have to go from and you have to plan your way around and everything. It could be speed golf, could be a normal round of golf, could be these different types of ways. So they add quite a bit of innovation with the kind of tutorial. I will call it a tutorial because it is that RPG setting. It's got that like kind of you're roaming around the area when you're not playing golf and talking to people and stuff like that, but it does have that overarching feel that it's trying to teach you the game. But that's okay. The main kind of hook that they have in this version of the game is this speed golf concept, which actually is quite good. So it's the main multiplayer mode. Basically, every shot that you take adds 30 seconds to your score. Plus, it's the time you take to get around. So you can speed boost, you can pick up boosts as you walk past, you can bump other people that are playing so that they fall on their asses. You can use your special shots and like certain special shots will, like, if they land near someone, it will then freeze the area around them so they slip over and stuff like that. So it's actually very entertaining and a different. So it's a mixture between wanting to do it quickly, but also wanting to get that birdie because then you reduce the number of shots you've taken. So, very, very good. And as I said, you can use a Joy-Con if you want, which is another massive plus, because when you, especially if you're playing with your kids and stuff like that, it's just nice. But what I would say is that the other stuff that they've got going on, like the battle golf, seems a bit thin on the ground. There's like two different versions of it. Not a lot going on there. You've got your normal standard golf mode. But what I would have liked to have seen, and I don't think this would have taken much, they've got six golf courses. Now, that's not much, and I know they're going to add more in. I think on the last Mario Golf game, they had like 18 courses, so... Yeah. They're set to be huge DLC to this, but let's just say you've got these six courses. If you've ever played Mario Kart, you'll know that you do a course, and then you'll do the four races, and then you get ranked like gold star or three gold stars or silver, whatever. So I think it goes up to three gold stars. They need some concept like that to say like. And then it should store what you've done on each course. I think they could just have that simple Mario Kart formula of like, if you win it on this difficulty or something, then you get this star rating. And they should do it. Things like that are so simple, I think, to add in from a development side. And just give you that hook to play another round. Because I could turn it on now. I do love standard golf games. I could put it on there. I could play around, but I'd like to know, and it does keep your best score on a particular course and stuff like that. So it does have those stats in there, but I would like something a bit more like showy. And it doesn't take much for it to just present it like they do on Mario Kart. So that'd be a little criticism. The thing I'd say that if we wait 6 months on this game, there should be more courses. The Battle Golf, I think they showed in the Nintendo Direct last week. They had New Donk City from Mario Odyssey in there. That's not in the game currently. So that's going to be added. You're going to have new characters, which it's obvious as you're playing these little tournaments or whatever, they've got pre-rendered characters that you can't be yet. So they're going to be in the game. It just seems like there's a lot of content that they probably should have put in. It seems a little bit...
It's a work in progress game.
And it's a bit
it's
like
early access, right?
Well, it's like Mario Tennis, Mario Aces, I think it was before. I think it's come out in the similar vein where it's like it's almost like a B tier Nintendo game. So this is a very enjoyable game if you like golf games, but it seems to be lacking a little bit on the content side. And I think if you weren't pressing to get it now. You waited 6 months, or you picked this up for Christmas, maybe, for your kid or for yourself, or whatever. Then I think you'd be looking at a lot more content. What I would say is that if you bloody loved Wii Golf and you were all about that, this definitely could be the game for you. And it did definitely make in preparation for this being released. I went back and I started playing a lot of PGA 2K21 on my Switch. And that really, really is a tremendous golf game. So if you're looking for realism on your golf, I did want a little. Mario Golf does great. It's got a lot of variety in it, and it is actually mechanically a good golf game. But it's not that you can. There's a gulf of depth difference, obviously, with a PGA game. But 2K21 is actually tremendous. Like it really, really is a very good game.
On the back of that, obviously, I don't think anyone's buying the Mario one for its realism. I'm shocked that you can actually choose clubs. The 2K one, what's the single player like? Do you have a career mode and stuff?
It's only single player, Eddie, really. You could do multiplayer online and stuff, but basically the whole thing is it's a career mode. So you can't be like DeChambeau or Sergio Garcia or anybody, but they're in the game. You play against them. But you can't, the whole thing is you create your character. What I don't like about it, which I wish they did do, was that there's no RPG type progression on it, which there is in Mario Golf. So Mario Golf, like you create your Mii character and you increase the power, your ability to spin, your endurance.
Yeah, that's cool.
And stuff. And that's good. So it's like it's got RPG elements, but in the 2K21 game, it's not. You just get better at the game, increase the difficulty, you progress through the tournaments, you've got your rivalries of other people, and you may use your points to buy different clubs. So you buy real old clubs. You might covet that four hybrid, that Bridgestone four hybrid or something like that you want to get. So yeah, that it's just a different way of playing. I wish they incorporated a bit more of that into 2K21. 2K21 though has such a depth of ability to make it harder. So at the I turn off all the green reads, so or the green vision, so you can see where your puck goes and everything. So you literally just have to read the green yourself. Right. You don't get any help. You can turn up the wind. You can do so much to make it harder. And when you make it hard, it's amazing. And what they do have on that game is the multiplayer in Mario Golf is very much on their hook games, their speed golf and all that kind of stuff. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
The multiplayer in 2K21 is more tournaments. So there are loads of tournaments going on. They've got preset like professional difficulty levels. Yeah. And they'll tell you like how accurate you've got to be in a swing and everything. And you just play those tournaments, which is actually really good. So you play in a tournament and the best people are getting like 3 under or something. You're like, wow, this must be really difficult. You play it, you get 10 over. Like, fucking hell. Yeah. But unlike Mario Golf, which is just like press A to do the power and stuff, which is what you probably want from that game, unless you're using the Joy-Con. 2K21 is definitely using the stick to go back and forward with your swing, which is again a lot nicer.
Can you wildly shank it in PGA Tour?
Oh, you can wildly shank it.
Fantastic! I can play realistic golf.
Yeah, it's like me on any T20.
Jesus. Yeah. Can you shank it that wide? Can you?
Yeah.
Can you shank it straight into water that's 2 feet ahead of you? And then a second later hit a pitch perfect drive? Because if so, that's me playing golf.
Well, on the settings that I play, which are like professional, you can do a pretty bad shank, but it won't let you shank it. So it does recover it somewhat. And I think, how does that happen? It shows you your swing path and it can
That's what happens when you turn pro, Ben. That's just part and parcel of getting pro.
Yeah,
you can no longer shank it quite as bad. You just get good.
So Mario Golf seems... I'm pleased with it. I am pleased with it. It's not going to set the world alight. It's kind of that B-tier kind of quality, but if you like Wii Golf, definitely good. If you want a realistic golf game, PGA 2K21, definitely recommend that.
That's fair. And to be fair, the other option that people often talk about is the Golf Club 2019, isn't it?
So that is made by the same people who make PGA 2K21.
Yeah,
so,
I thought it probably was.
So the Golf Club 2019, the developers of that were then given all the licenses to make PGA 2K21. So it's like the Golf Club 2.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and I mean, the reason I know that is because they often say the Golf Club is the more difficult one.
Yes.
But as you're saying, you can make PGA Tour very difficult too.
It's made by the same people. It's taken the good way that they could make golf and then just slap the load of licenses over it.
Of course. Now, the reason I mentioned the Golf Club as well is because obviously both of those are on sale on Steam right now. 80% off on the Golf Club and 67% off on PGA Tour. Really? Just as a starter. And that should give you some idea of just how big a sale the Steam Summer Sale is. Literally any game you want to talk about, it's on sale right now. Or if it's not, it's because they're winding you up and putting all the rest of their franchise on sale, like Dark Souls, for instance, and the bastard remastered version. But anyway, for those who aren't aware of the Steam Summer Sale in general, obviously it's an annual event, but it is by far and away the biggest sale Steam do. It even dwarfs their winter Christmas sale. And as always, they like to have a couple of gimmicks thrown in there as well. So this year there's a storyline called Forge Your Fate. I've played through a few of them. They're little micro adventures where you choose your own path, but it's literally one path per story. So it's over pretty quickly, but you know, it's a fun little extra they throw in. And it gets you an animated sticker for those people on Steam who actually do the Steam profile thing. Which seems to be a bigger deal than I realize, but for most of us, and the three of us in particular, I know, but I imagine most others, it's about the actual sale and about the amount you can get off on these games. Obviously the biggest franchises are pretty much all represented, but we decided the best way for us to do this was to look into those genres that we play and we feel a lot of PC players play and talk about what the best options are in that. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose the best
start with the one that's close to your heart, I think.
I was going to say the best place to start is surely strategy. And again, I'm going to say here, the one I've been playing relentlessly lately, Stellaris, is down to £8.
Ooh.
Like £8.
And all of those DLCs are reduced as well, aren't they?
They are all reduced. One of the first things I did was pick up a couple of the DLCs that I wanted and not wanted to pay full price for.
What I will say, amazing. Because I think about half of our audience is from America, so I imagine the prices are pretty similar between UK and America.
The discount level is identical, so things like, I don't even know what the discount level is on Stellaris. I think it's 60%, maybe more.
Yeah, we didn't know that down, did we? Yeah.
We're very well prepped. 70%.
It's the only one. It's the only one that doesn't.
Off on Stellaris. And most of the DLCs are 50 or 60%. Okay. Except one of the ones I want, which is really annoying. So I'm not going to buy it out of principle and I'll wait till Christmas. But
I also see your big one.
Yeah, this is a very fair point. So a game that was recently voted by a very impartial panel as the best strategy game of all time, Warhammer Total War 2, is 66% off. So that's, if for the British among us, it's £13.50. And I've got 1,500 plus hours in this game. I would recommend it to anyone. I think you've got 500 odd as well, Eddie, and you spend most of your life on RimWorld.
At least, yeah. It's a fucking brilliant game.
It's an insanely good game. And anyone who likes anything to do with the Total War series or the Warhammer series, you don't have to like both of them, will love that game. £13 is just an insanely good value price.
Just as a point, because obviously you've got these games. What level of PC do you have to play Stellaris or Warhammer Total War 2? Do you have to have? Is it a good laptop PC setup, or is it will medium to low?
Honestly, Stellaris will run on a medium spec pretty happily. If you don't go to the biggest map sizes, in particular, it'll run very happily for the time you play on it. Warhammer, it's a bit more difficult because the battles are the bit that's going to absolutely churn your system. So if you haven't got an SSD, if you haven't got an SSD, it's going to be less pleasant because the end turn is going to take you probably a minute as you get into the game, whereas with an SSD, it's probably 10 seconds.
There are actually mods that help that as well, by the way.
There are quite a few, and the ones that stop people trying to start diplomacy with you, which is almost always just, can we have some money, please? In return for an alliance you don't want. Turning that off is a huge plus. But yeah, they should both run on a pretty medium rig. The only difficulty you'll get with Warhammer is end turn or the battles. If you've got large armies, they can get quite slow.
Because the end turn in Rome, it started off really in Rome 2 when it got a bit unwieldy, didn't it? So many factions. So when you end your turn, everyone's moving their pieces and it just takes forever.
Exactly. And that's Warhammer the map is about twice the size of Rome Total Wars.
Yeah.
And every single space is a faction basically at the start. So without an SSD, that's the big drawback. But if you've got an SSD, you will barely notice it.
Fair enough.
Now, the other strategy game that I thought was particularly worthy of highlighting is Civ 6.
Yeah, well, it's one of the biggest, isn't it? So.
Yeah, 75% off. But, and this is worth mentioning for all of them, all of their franchises are on sale. So every Civ game is on sale. All of the stuff that Paradox have done. So this is Crusader Kings games. This is Stellaris.
Is Crusader Kings on sale as well?
Crusader Kings is on sale, yes. Obviously, it's also on Game Pass, so, you know, less relevant. But it's on sale. Everything Warhammer is on sale again as well. And everything Total War as well. They are all there.
So Civ 6 is currently £12.50. Yes, 75% off for everyone. 75%. Yeah. Warhammer 13.50 66 and Stellaris down at £8. So yeah, there are our top picks for the strategy then. That's fucking brilliant.
And then I think moving swiftly on to another one we've done a top three of. Should we talk RPGs?
Lovely, yeah. big RPGs here.
Yeah, there's an awful lot off in the RPGs. And I mean, to start for you, Ben, Disco Elysium.
So there is a sale here. 35%. It's not as big as everything else we've chosen is massive. This I had to put in there because this game, I own this game, but I haven't really played much of it. But it's, I mean, it's critically acclaimed, isn't it?
It is.
Disco Elysium, they've just released the Final Cut version. So if you previously owned Disco Elysium like I did, you get the Final Cut upgraded for free. It's fully voice acted throughout the whole game. Yeah. It's just supposed to be an incredible experience and a new preset for how RPGs should be done going forward. So that's down to £22.74. So it's still a big price, £22 for a lot of PC games, but that is a crack it. I think it's a 50-hour game as well, so 60-hour game. So if you're looking for a newer RPG to get your teeth into, Disco Elysium, that's your bad boy.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing that's important here as well is that the Final Cut is new. These are even new games will have a significant chunk knocked off it. So
yeah, that was only a couple of months ago that came out. That's also now on consoles, by the way. Yeah. The console version, I think, if you look at Metacritic, it's got a slightly lower rating because it doesn't run as well. But I'd probably rather play this on console. However, the PC version, I believe, has full controller support, because the reason I'm interested in this, I do have it, and I think I might play this on the One X player that I've got coming next month. Because it's full controller support on Disco Elysium now, because it's come to console. So Steam also has the full controller support.
Exactly. Now, I mean, as another one, just to reference, even though it was badly routed in the RPG. God, that was a shame. The Witcher games, the Witcher franchise in general. Obviously, we've talked about them many times. Once again, pretty much a seminal piece in RPG games. And the Game of the Year edition for The Witcher 3 is 80% off. Immediately, 80% off.
And what price does that take that to, Pete?
But again, that's only relevant for UK, but like £7.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
From 35 down to 7, immediately.
I mean, I own The Witcher. Mm. I have never completed The Witcher 3. I just put that out there. I own it on every console.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it on every console. I bought the only one I actually paid money for was the Switch. I've almost found it. You have to work very hard to have had to pay money for The Witcher. But if you do, you can get it secondhand in CEX or another kind of similar outlet for usually around that price as well. But that's still an incredible price for one of the best rated RPGs ever.
Exactly. And I mean, to put it in perspective, Witcher 1 and 2 are both good games. They're 85% and 80% off as well. So they're like £1 or £2 each.
And crazy.
As long as you can handle the graphics not being quite as good, they're great games.
I've got Witcher 2. Yeah. So it's fantastic. I remember playing this going, why isn't this game huge? Because it wasn't, was it? It was okay game. I think I talked to a couple of people and they've never heard of The Witcher. And then I was like, this is a fucking good game. Why isn't people talking about it? Then The Witcher 3 came along. Holy shit, did that blow
up? Everyone started talking about it. Yeah. Yep. 2, I think, was the one that set the precedent that they could do it. And then 3, obviously, they just smashed it out of the park. But in terms of classics in the RPG genre, Baldur's Gate is also on sale, Eddie.
One and two.
My god, yeah, 1 and 2. And I think this is brilliant, because so 1 is, I think it was £2.50 with 80%, and I think Baldur's Gate 2 was something like £2.59 with 85% off. Now this is amazing, because if you've never played Baldur's Gate before, you need to play it. It is probably arguably one of the best RPG of that style ever. Everything about it, like the mechanics are, you know, all games have tried to copy the mechanics. I mean, Divinity 2 is on sale, isn't it? And let's be honest, Divinity 2, they have literally looked at Baldur's Gate and gone, let's copy that. So, but Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, perfect, because they're £2.50, which is nothing. But Baldur's Gate 3, didn't they say, was it this last week or the week before, didn't they say, like, it's not being released this year, full release?
Yeah,
it's staying in early access.
Yes. Next year,
It's perfect. Get Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, both for, just get them both for a fiver. That will take you up to next year to play them, because you'll be so engorged in it.
To put this sale into perspective, Baldur's Gate, I think 1 and 2 has just come out on the Switch. Mm. I believe, and I don't think they're remasters. I don't think they're upgrades in any way. I think they're ports, but they run very, very smooth. Yeah. Supposedly they're excellent fucking ports. They, I think, are going for £22 each.
Yeah.
So to put the sale in perspective, that's £2.50 if you buy it on Steam.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Exactly. And I think something key to remember here as well is that even if you're not a big PC gamer or a laptop gamer, things like Baldur's Gate would run on your ThinkPad. Like,
It'd run on a fucking Switch, yeah.
Exactly. Like,
that's unnecessary.
It would probably look better than most Switch games as well.
And definitely. you could run it on a fucking potato and it'd look better, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those sales that is a good opportunity to get any game you've thought about playing on a PC at any point. And it doesn't care if your PC is a flipping potato that you converted back in tech class. Like, it'll probably run something that they've got on sale here.
Yeah.
Possibly not things like Dark Souls 2 and 3, which are also on sale to switch into action.
Yeah. Yeah, to switch to action category, we've got, Dark Souls. I couldn't see Dark Souls 1 remastered on there.
It's not on sale, which infuriates me hugely because I've been waiting for that for bloody ages.
Surely, because what's that full price be? Have you checked?
£35.
That's mental, man. That's mental. Yes. I mean, of the three Dark Souls games, my favourite is the first. Then three, and then lastly two.
I think that's a very commonly established order.
Yeah, because Dark Souls 2 was not made by Miyazaki and his team, so it was made by some other people. So, but both £10, Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3, £10. Dark Souls 3 especially here. £10 is such a phenomenal game. If you've ever been interested in getting into a Dark Souls, you don't have to play the first couple, whatever. Go straight into 3. It's fluid as hell. Fantastic game.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, again, I don't think we can stress enough just how many... Well, that pretty much everything is on sale except Dark Souls Remastered.
Yeah, but I mean, even Sekiro I saw was on sale, but it's like £22 or something. So,
yeah. And the more recent the game, the less will be knocked off it. But they're still probably on sale.
We say that Metro Exodus, that's the latest Metro game. I have completed that game and I loved that game. I thought it was fantastic.
Very good game. Yeah.
If you've if you've played any of the previous Metro games, it really rounds off the story fantastically. Really, really good sandbox world. So each area is its own sandbox, but it's open world in that area.
Yeah.
Tremendous game. £10.50. 70% off. Metro Exodus. Fantastic. And the Far Cries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was one. So one of the first things I actually picked up after Eddie mentioned it is Far Cry 3.
Oh, yeah.
And why are we talking about this now? You said we're going to end with the highlight, and that's my fucking highlight. What are you talking about it, Paul?
But then you can highlight it again later, can't you?
No, well, that's fucking great, isn't it? Yeah, let's talk about it now, and then I'll fucking highlight it. I was already annoyed that we fucking did Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, because that was, you know what? You crack on, Pete. You talk about Far Cry.
This is what I get for not scrolling down, Eddie, but I would still have done it anyway. Because £2.50 for Far Cry 3.
Oh, is it good? Is it Pete?
Brilliant. Oh my god, incredible.
What are you talking about?
Honestly,
some would say it's a highlight.
Eddie, you should really try it out. It probably would become a highlight for you of your entire gaming history.
Brilliant.
It's a fantastic game with one of the iconic villains in all gaming. So, yeah, I don't really think you can go far wrong with that one, can you?
Very good. Did you do that on purpose? No, definitely. I mean, £2.50 again, like that's my kind of money we're talking here. We're not talking, you know, Ben spending
fucking casual game. Money. Yeah.
No, we're talking, you know, you don't buy it unless it's under £3. But I mean, £2.50. I've played it all the way through, I think twice.
Yeah.
But I've bought it because I've obviously got my new Xbox and I can't put the fucking CD in it. I've tried. £2.50. Playing it through again, making me realize how shit 5 is. Yeah, definitely. if you've never played it, I think it's a sin not to play it. And also, I think it's quite good to get now because then we haven't heard enough about the new Far Cry coming out. So play the Far Cry 3 and then you compare the new game to it and we'll all realize the new game's shit.
Yeah, fair. A very fair, aggressively made point. I enjoyed that. That was nice. That was nice.
Some would say it's a highlight.
It certainly sounds like it's your highlight, Eddie. I mean, I'm glad you have to pick another one now, but it certainly sounds like it. Obviously, we're focusing on the bigger games here, but the other thing, if you're not just obsessed with the Switch, is that indie games are a massive thing on PC, and they're pretty much all on sale as well. So not to dedicate too much time to each of them, but West of Loathing, which we talked about last week.
I'm well excited that that's on sale. Yeah,
40% off. Ember, which I talked about a few weeks ago, 60% off.
Yeah.
Hollow Knight, Hades, Darkest Dungeon, Graveyard Keeper, like Loop Hero. Mm. And yeah, there's just so many. Don't Starve Together as well. They're all on 60% or so. Hades a bit less because it's new.
£4, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a beaut, that one.
This is that time to stock up with all those games you're leaving grey on your Steam library and not install for months. But all but of those, love having them.
All of those games that we just mentioned are basically the cost of one or two pints, except for Hades, which is three or four.
Yes, and I like the fact that that's our conversion policy for all monetary currency. But,
if you don't convert it into beer, then you're not really British, are you? That's
I mean, it is just, it's a vast sale. Like, anything you can think of is on there with a sale, except Dark Souls Remastered.
Yes.
Bastards, absolute villains.
Literally, it's on my wish list for so long just because I really like the remaster and it just never comes on sale. Yes. Much like RimWorld, at some point I'm just going to go, oh, screw it and do it anyway. Even RimWorld.
RimWorld's on 10%.
RimWorld's on 10%, though. RimWorld. I mean, you know what's funny? You go through all the Steam sale and they're all like 80, 66, 75, and then you get to RimWorld with 10. And you're like, for fuck's sake. RimWorld.
And yet that still feels like a big victory.
It's huge. It's the biggest one I've ever seen.
Yeah. Kenchi's down as well, isn't it? Surprisingly,
Kenchi's only 30% off, which I'm sure I've seen it be more before.
£16 for Kenchi, excellent.
Yeah, still a fantastic deal. You know, you can't really go wrong with
but
that.
But you could spend £20 here and get 3-4 games.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fuck me, yeah. I'm getting a lot more than that, mate. I'm getting
Eddie will get 10.
Baldur's Gate 1 or 2. I'm getting, you're going to probably rip me for this, a game called Startup Company. It looks great. That's £5. The Forest. You know how good The Forest is?
Oh, yeah.
£6.
Nice. I mean, we said that boring the other week, but yeah, fine.
Yeah, fine. Expeditions Vikings looks like a great little strategy game. It's normally £25. It's down to £6. So I'm getting that one as well.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Good.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, I've already mentioned Far Cry and some Stellaris DLC. I've picked up West of Loathing and Salt and Sanctuary as well already.
Yeah.
And there'll be more to come after that because... Oh,
what was Salt and Sanctuary's price?
I'm trying desperately to remember because my Steam has crashed. Once you've paid for it, it's gone, though. It's out of the way.
$3.39.
There you go.
Shit.
Like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and 75% off on a fantastic game.
Ow.
I mean, things like Dying Light is 66% off, I think, or something like that as well.
That's a good game. That's a good game as well, Dying.
I'm aware you're a fan, yes.
Not very scary, though, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously things like Dungeon of the Endless, which is a roguelike dungeon defense by Endless Space creators, etc., is, I think, £2 again. Mm. Yeah, it's like 80% off. So anything you can think of, you can find on there. And if it's not Dark Souls Remastered, it'll be on sale.
So Pete, have you got one highlight?
Honestly, I don't think I can pick a highlight. I mean,
is it Far Cry 3?
Yeah, it probably would have been Far Cry 3. No, I think the one I would say is the best deal for anyone is Warhammer Total War 2. Getting a game like that one playthrough is going to take you 30-odd hours, and you can do, what is it? There's like 60 different characters you can play as now in that game for £13.50
or cannot argue
equivalents
with that.
In other nations. It's absolutely insane value.
And it has potential to be your game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that could be hundreds and hundreds or thousands of hours.
Yeah, and if not, it's going to set you up beautifully for Warhammer 3 later this year. So, yeah, I couldn't not pick that one. What about you, Eddie? Do you have a particular highlight? Anything that stood out for you?
Very good. Very good. No, I mean, look, I highly recommend anyone get Far Cry 3 just to give it a try. I mean, it's £2.50. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? And you will find not only one of the best first-person shooter mechanical games, but also one of the best storylines ever in a computer game, in my opinion. But if you're not into one of your strategies, for sure, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. £2.50 each, and they are literally what all RPG strategy games are built around. Every single, like, Divinity 2, one of the highest-selling games, strategy games there are at the moment, and it is basically a carbon copy of Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
You know what I love about that, by the way, is that Larian copied Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 so well with Divinity that they're now making Baldur's Gate 3.
You pointed that out, didn't you, last week?
Yeah, absolutely love that, but it is true.
Why not? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's my picks. What about you, Ben?
I'm going to risk a little rating here, but my pick is Bug Fables, which is the recent release, which is down to £9.29, 40% off. It's basically a spiritual successor to the RPG Paper Mario. So if you're a Nintendo fan out there and you loved the old school Paper Mario games and you're at a loss for the absolute dross that has been released since and the recent Paper Mario game, then this is probably the game for you. People are raving about this game. I really want to get it. Bug Fables.
So not only do you pick one that's on a lower sale than most of the others, you pick one that looks like a Switch game for PC.
But if you were to buy it on the Switch, guys, if you were to buy it on the Switch, it'd be £16.
Oof. Okay. I see why it's your highlight here then.
Yeah.
Fair. Mm. Fair. I mean, I think that wraps us up for the week, doesn't it, guys? I think it does. So instead of sitting here and listening to us, go and actually check out the sale for yourself, because for this week, it's GG.
No, it's not, because you haven't done the fucking socials.
I don't care. We're moving on. I've said GG. End it.
But we have to do the socials.
So if you want to contact us by email, it's podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk and on Twitter @grumpygamerspod. GG.
GG.
Thank you.